The Defense Department issues far more sole source contracts than any other agency in the federal government. Full and open competition is a phrase you hear all the time about what is supposed to be the holy grail of awarding federal contracts. Figuring out when sole source contracts are okay and when they're not is drawing some attention now from Congress. Belva Martin is Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues at the Government Accountability Office. Belva, it's great to have you back on the program. Senator Claire McCaskill, the chair of the Subcommittee on Financial Contracting and Oversight in the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee asked you to look at this issue. What specifically did she tell you she wanted you to look at and what she wanted to know, Belva?
Francis, thanks for having me on the program again. Specifically, as you mentioned, full and open competition is required for the most part for federal contracts, but there are exceptions. And so Senator McCaskill ask us to look at some of these exceptions to full and open competition, and justifications for these contracts is required. So we looked at what's termed class justifications, which are used for multiple contract actions.
So you looked at, it says here, products and services that are included in those justifications, the rationale cited, and efforts to obtain competition. Take me through each one of those, please.
Yes, as I mentioned, federal contracting officials have circumstances in which they can use less than full and open competition because federal acquisition regulations recognize that it's not always practical. For example, there may be national security reasons, there may be an urgent and compelling reason, or sole source are just three of seven exceptions. So when an exception is used, you have to justify it, hence the term justification. And it can be for a single contract or multiple. And when it covers multiple contract actions, it's termed class justification. And so what we found were that, for the most part, these class justifications were for DOD weapon systems. About 77% covered development, production, et cetera, of DOD weapon systems. About 14 covered logistical support, and then the other 9% covered other requirements. For the most part, over 90% of the justifications cited only one responsible source. So again, that's the justification, is only one source is available. And for the most part, that's because the incumbent would own the technical data rights or the expertise.
The issue here about competition, I guess, gets very complicated for people like Senator McCaskill when there is only one place that the agency can go and buy something. That 90% number that you cited, you write about in this report, and it says the class justifications GAO review generally cited the publication of notices of proposed contract actions in the Federal Business Opportunities website, FedBizOps, or market research to identify other qualified sources, neither of which identified other contractors that could meet the requirements. What I take out of that, Belva, is the Defense Department is trying to find other people, other companies that are able to provide something that they need when they only initially find one source. But that's not, these opportunities don't always present themselves. Am I reading that correctly?
You are reading it correctly. And as I stated, a lot of times that the rationale is because the contractor owns the technical data rights or the expertise. So the Department of Defense has required contractors now to start thinking, federal contract officials and program officials, to start thinking at the beginning of the acquisition cycle about potentially purchasing those technical data rights, or at least attempting to ascertain whether it's practical to do that. And that would help with competition if you own the data rights, et cetera. And we do cite about 17% identified plans to compete. And in three of those cases, it's because they plan to acquire those technical data rights.
Is it your sense that DOD is doing an adequate job of being able to express after the fact what they did to either be able to ascertain that nobody else could provide a product or a service, or to do these justifications? I guess what I'm getting at is, are they explaining the process, showing their work, so to speak, as well as they are doing the work that they have to do internally to go about the process?
We've done a number of reports on competition or lack thereof, and the department prepares the justifications, and that's what's required by the FAR. So in this case, we looked at the justifications, and it cited an exception to competition as is required.
This report has no recommendations, and you and I have talked about a number of recommendations that you've made in some of your past work. Overall, the sense that you took away from this work that you submitted to Senator McCaskill about how DOD is going about this is what, Belva? What's kind of the state of the art here?
Well, again, with respect to these class justifications, what we wanted to do was to look at those that we could identify. There is no universe, so she was interested in the estimated dollar value, and we could not provide that for all justifications because, again, there is no central source. But as I stated, we looked at the justifications. They are required to cite the exception. They did. They are required to be approved at a certain level, and that approval was shown in the justifications that we reviewed. They're required to talk about competing in the future, and they included that information. So DOD officials told us that it presents them with some efficiencies in terms of using these class justifications because they are for related actions, and that did seem to be the case in terms of the class justifications.
Belva, I appreciate your input on this. Competition is something that leaders at DOD talk about all the time. It's great to see exactly how they're doing it, and I thank you for being on the program today.
And thank you.